You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, US President Donald Trump put forward a 28-point peace plan as a proposed resolution to the war between Ukraine and Russia, with an initial expectation of response by the 27th of November. The initial plan included an agreement by NATO to hold dialogue with Russia, to refuse current and future Ukrainian access to NATO and not station troops in Ukraine, and that Europe commit $100 billion to the investment into Ukrainian reconstruction, also providing financial compensation for the role of the United States in mediation. Following backlash from European leaders as well as negotiations between Trump and Zelensky, the plan has been refined with further discussions to take place over the coming week. I spoke to University of Otago Professor Robert Patman about Trump's peace plan and the wider impact on international diplomacy. What were your thoughts on Trump's initial 28-point peace plan seeking to resolve this conflict between Ukraine and Russia?
My initial thoughts were it would be dead on arrival. The problem with the peace, the so-called peace plan, which was, we understand, largely authored by Putin, is that it makes a sort of moral equivalency between Russia, which has invaded Ukraine, and Ukraine, which is the victim of such aggression. And I know the administration keep talking about a war rather than an invasion, but let's be quite clear about the evidence. And this deal actually proposes to give Russia territory, which it currently does not have in Ukraine, which has it has not won on the battlefield. If international law is to be respected and state sovereignty of Ukraine, these are big issues for New Zealand, by the way, then Mr. Putin can't get anything. All he's got left is to withdraw his troops from Ukraine. Why should an aggressor be rewarded? And it's very disappointing that the President of the United States apparently believes that Mr. Putin should be awarded for his behavior. That would seem to institutionalize the principle that might is right, which would send alarm bells around the world, not least for small countries like New Zealand. The more damaging thing about this peace plan, And let's be quite clear, their peace plan now is being the process of being diluted. Marco Rubio, who is more pro-Ukrainian than Trump has always had a soft spot for Putin and has always been able to look over the fact that Putin runs a dictatorship and does not tolerate opposition, whether it be in the journalism field or whether it be in the political field. So what's happened is that there's been discussion. That was the initial draft. Ukraine was given some sort of ultimatum to accept the 28 peace plan. But the Americans seem to be now backing away from that. And I think there's been a backlash in Europe. Europe doesn't accept this. Ukraine can't accept this. You can't ask a country to be invaded to say, yes, the country invaded must be handed the territory. That's not a peace. That's just plain theft. And just imagine how we would feel in New Zealand if a country seized half of, the South Island, and a superpower came in and said to us as a country, sorry, guys, but that country that's invaded part of your South Island, they've got to keep it. I mean, you can't run international affairs on that basis. And, you know, the big question is, why did President Trump ever table such a one-sided proposal to a country like Ukraine, which has suffered so much through this illegal and barbaric invasion from Russia?
As you've mentioned, a number of European political leaders have been engaging with this plan and have been talking about the negotiations, I suppose. But there's been a new sort of redraft produced between Zelensky and Trump, which weakens the original proposal. Do you know much about this? And do you think that these changes make the plan at all more viable?
Well, according to media outlets like the Washington Post, there's been quite a bit of movement and Ukraine's a lot happier with the redrafted document. But I think the Europeans quite rightly said that any agreement must respect international law and it must respect Ukraine's state sovereignty, which Putin doesn't recognize, and must respect the territorial integrity of Ukraine. In 2014, Russia illegally annexed Crimea, and then in 2022, it attempted a full-scale invasion of the country. The big problem at the moment is that Putin does not recognize Ukraine as an independent country. And I think there's only two options here. If Mr. Trump was a strong and principled leader, he would do one of two things. He'd either instruct Mr. Putin to withdraw his troops from Ukraine immediately. After all, America's the most powerful country in the world, and Russia has got an economy about the same size of Spain. So why is America shaking in its boots when confronted with Russia? Secondly, if Mr. Putin, and of course Mr. Putin wouldn't accept that because he knows it would be political death for him if he withdrew from Ukraine, having lost more than 1 million soldiers trying to capture, and Russia only controls 20% of Ukraine. The second option would be that if he would not withdraw, then the United States should intensify sanctions and double down on its support for Ukraine. Ukraine can win this war. Putin's not winning this war. So again, that's another thing which many Europeans are dismayed about, Trump's approach, which has been consistently pro-Putin from the word go. At one stage, Trump even nonsensically suggested that Zelensky provoked the invasion. There's no evidence for that whatsoever. And, one thing is quite clear. Under Mr. Trump, America can never claim to be leader of the free world again because he's siding with a dictator.
Going from that, I suppose, what kind of ramifications does this form of international diplomacy that Trump is attempting to champion have, I mean, in terms of future negotiations?
The first peace plan he tried to suggest was quite similar. Again, he was walked away from that by Europeans in a charm offensive. But he again tried to effectively, not, it was not a peace plan, it was a surrender plan in which Ukraine had to give up everything, virtually. You know, the United States, under Mr. Trump, is seeing, you ask me what are the consequences of this, are seeing amongst liberal democracies its standing dramatically fall. And it's high time that countries like New Zealand stop looking at this Trump administration, which, by the way, is pursuing an authoritarian path at home in the United States. They stop looking at it with rose-tinted glasses. They're not dealing with an America of 10 years ago. The Trump administration, the second administration, is a radical departure from the past. One particular consequence which could occur is, I think, that the Europeans slowly are reaching the conclusion they may not be able to do business with Europe, the Trump administration. And we could see, the ultimatum to Zelensky to accept his surrender package or else is completely unacceptable. After all, it is the European continent, and it's up for the Europeans now to step up and provide the support, which they can do, to Zelensky. And so I think we're a bit of a crossroads in terms of the relationship between liberal democracies. America seems to become its own worst enemy under Mr. Trump. America's good name is being tarnished. It's also coming across as a weak player. I mean, Mr. Trump, you know, he presents himself, I think Gavin Newsom put it well, he presents himself as being strong, but it's really weakness masquerading as strength. If he was strong, he would take a very firm line with Mr. Putin, but he's not. He's caving into a dictator, and that won't impress China, which is one of the biggest enablers of Putin's invasion. This all has big geopolitical consequences for New Zealand. If, say for argument's sake, Mr. Trump succeeded in twisting Zelensky's arm and he had to give up territory to an outright aggressor, that could embolden China to exert pressure on Taiwan. It could encourage China to become more ambitious in the Pacific Island nations, where we already have concerns. So the outcome in Ukraine is directly linked to New Zealand's security interests in the Indo-Pacific. And I would like to see our government speaking out about this. After all, their job is to defend the national interest.
I mean, given the consequences that are potential for New Zealand's security, how should the government be responding? Should they be involved in these current negotiations?
No, I think the Europeans and the Americans should be involved. It's the European continent, and the Americans, until recently, have been a major backer of Ukraine. They still provide weapons and intelligence, but they're threatening to reduce both. When I say provide weapons, they don't provide weapons for free. They sell the weapons to NATO countries, which then transfer the weapons to Ukraine. But they certainly help Ukraine with intelligence, and they're threatening to cut that off. I think ultimately the Europeans have to face down Trump. They have to say, we don't accept your proposal. They put forward their own, by the way, a 24-point plan, which is much more to Ukraine's liking. And if Mr. Trump withdraws withdraws troops from Europe and pulls out, well, that's up to him. Because make no mistake about this, there's very strong opposition within America to Trump's stance on Ukraine. Many Americans are outraged by the position that President Trump has taken in favoring Putin with his invasion of Ukraine. And they've made it quite clear. So in a sense, Mr. Trump is taking a big risk at home. And I think the Europeans should basically, instead of always trying to appease Trump, look at where the interests diverge and draw the consequences. If they're unhappy with the Trump peace plan, then they need to say so publicly. And also other liberal democracies like New Zealand need to make clear that they're not happy about a Trump vision which would water down the importance of the rule of law internationally. Let's be quite clear. If the Trump peace plan, the 28th point peace plan, was originally drafted, and we know it's being diluted now, but the idea of treating the victim the same as the aggressor is completely at variance a rules-based international order, which New Zealand subscribes to. Our vision in New Zealand for the way international affairs should be run is based on the idea that there should be rules, principles, and that international law should count. And the reason we believe that, of course, is out of their self-interest. We're relatively weak, and rules are there for the weak, not for the strong. What Mr. Trump seems to be proposing is to reward Putin's outright aggression in Ukraine, and therefore establishing or reaffirming the principle that might is right. Well, that would jeopardize the interests of most middle powers and most small countries in the world. And we have a right to speak out about that. And I think it's time we stop tiptoeing around the Trump administration on such crucial issues to our national interests. So to answer your question, we don't need to get involved in the negotiations, but I do think we may need to make it very clear, along with Australia and Canada and other countries, that we oppose any surrender of Ukrainian territory to Russia, which has been gained through an illegal invasion.
That was University of Otago International Politics Professor Robert Patman on the ongoing negotiations surrounding Trump's peace plan for Ukraine and Russia.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.